This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 28th of January, 1954. The title of this lecture is Courage Processing. This lecture is 58 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
And this is the 28th of January, 1954 afternoon lecture. This afternoon, we're going to take up what else you can do with more or less the same process. You've seen that there is something to now this processing courage. Courage, of course, processed that way is evidently the first entrance below serenity into resistance. And it's resistance itself which brings about the single aberration of restriction. If you want to know what an aberration is, it's restriction. And so the first entrance into flows would then be courage. But it happens to be a soluble particle. Courage is not bad. Nobody is damning courage, you understand. It's just the fact that it just takes more than the thetan thinks he has to mark up to knock out this system of ridges, which are the communication systems of the individual. If you believe you are handling anything else but a communication system, I invite you to put somebody on the E-meter while you're running some courage on him. And when it goes clonk, you investigate further, and you will find him in a facsimile. And if you will continue to run the courage or handle that as an automaticity, I invite you to run him a little bit further, at which time you will see the E-meter go clonk again, and you will be in another facsimile. And then you run some more courage, and you will see the E-meter go clonk, and he'll be in another facsimile. What are we trying to do? We're trying to get a straight line from C, thetan, to E, body. Well, there's a couple ways of doing it. One of those ways is just to ignore any lines and process on 8C, which to a large degree simply ignores any lines, neglects them. Or process on the other process, which you have there, which is just a straight communication process with a catalyst particle. This is a communication process using a catalyst particle, which plows through the lines. All of a sudden, this will start to make sense to you. I've had to teach you about automaticity. You should teach somebody all about automaticity and give him a very clear understanding of automaticity and randomity before you try to teach him anything about courage processing. Because it turns on so many automaticities. And the main automaticity it turns on is body out of control. So you just handle that as you would any other automaticity. It's a very simple matter. All you have to do is have the pre-clear mock it up, approximating it, or be it, or be alternately himself and it. Any other method we have of handling automaticity handles this automaticity. But this is the kingpin turner-upper of automaticities, courage processing. You can turn up more serious automaticities in less time with this type of processing than anything else I've ever run into. Had this one for quite a while. But an auditor who isn't grounded in randomity communication, automaticity, and a dozen other things, such as from no down to sex and so forth, the tone scale and so on, he's liable to get very, very badly adrift. Here is a process which is something like flying a very, very hot airplane. If you were to take somebody who was trained on a little tailor craft or something of the sort, and then shove him into the cockpit of this courage processing, it'd take more nerve than he would have. Furthermore, it is not a process which can be generally released because it takes too much out of the auditor. The auditor sitting there being serene, running the hottest process he could run. He's sitting there being courageous in the face of a hot process. With all of the courage that he mocks up, and all the serenity he mocks up, and all the calmness he mocks up, just being dragged out the bottom of the barrel, swoosh, by the pre-clear. Kind of amusing that you have this degree of action here. Now, there's been some of you walking around in circles saying, we want action, we want action, we want action, we gotta have action, we gotta have action. Well, the amount of climb that a pre-clear has to take from Homo sap to operating Thetan has never been any shorter than the distance it has been. It isn't any shorter at this moment. It won't be any shorter tomorrow. It is the same amount of stuff. Let's call it 800 billion miles of stuff. And just because we invent a new process, this stuff doesn't get any closer or the communication situation doesn't change. None of the phenomena changes. Now, whenever you have a problem with a pre-clear, it is actually a problem in restriction. That's all. Totality of the problem is summed up under restriction. You can state it in numbers of ways, but that's a real close, narrow, fast way. He's restricted. He can't receive or reject. He can't accept or reject. He's restricted in motion. He's restricted in action, restricted in space. He has too much space or too little space, too much motion or too little motion. Now, restriction is the thing this universe specializes in, since it pounds at an individual on a 360-degree sphere with every type of wavelength which it has. Therefore, with this 360-degree sphere, we find the pre-clear getting smaller. We might expect him to eventually wind up running a small pebble or an atom in the pebble. If the universe held good and continued to be a trop. Very likely, this happens. I don't know, as far as that's concerned, even whether it's important or not. But it is important that it requires more darn serenity than a pre-clear is able to mock up where he sits in a body, and it requires more courage than he is able to assemble while sitting there in a body. In fact, the universe requires more than he can deliver while sitting in a body. And it ain't safe, folks. It just isn't safe. Now, you can go on theorizing and saying it's all very well to talk about exteriorization and so forth. These techniques work on somebody interiorized. Sure, they do. But even the state of theta clear isn't very safe. A fella can knock back in. Simply because he hasn't ever, anywhere on the track, drilled himself up to an ability to create the necessary quantities of this's and that's necessary to handle existence. Were you able to create from one corner of this universe to the other enough serenity so that it would stay there, you know, not just be soaked up by the whole universe? Were you able to create this? This universe would disappear. Now, you can think all you want to about blowing it up savagely and suddenly, pulling off its pins and knocking it down one way or the other, but you wouldn't get very far. violence only begets more restriction. If you don't believe this, fire a 12-gauge shotgun sometime. Put it lightly to your shoulder. Don't bother to press it against your shoulder very much. And hold it rather loosely and pull the trigger. Well, where the bullets landed and where you landed received the same foot poundage. So, that's violence. That's the use of force, force particle. Now, there's nothing wrong with using force, so long as an individual can handle force. You handle force by interiorizing and exteriorizing, or by mocking it up or unmocking it. What we're dealing with SOP-80 is how to handle this universe rather than really how to make a guy happy. So, let's look over this problem and realize that we're dealing with a finite, unchanging, stable problem. The problem now, as stated, is terrifically stable. Messed universe is a game consisting of barriers. The handling of a form depends upon the control of the form. In order to play the game all the way, you have to handle a form of some sort. If you're going to get around and handle a form around barriers, you sure better know about forms. You sure better know about barriers. That form, every time it's matched up on the wavelength of this universe, is just going to get pounded and pounded and hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered and caved in more and more and more, and it's not going to do any outflowing. All it's going to do is inflow. Well, then you, handling that form, agreeing with it continually, mocking yourself up continually so that it will act, it certainly better never slip on this one. Your health as a thetan depends on your ability to emanate. And the health of the messed universe depends on its ability to emanate. Where the messed universe cannot emanate, it dies. It gets down to a final spot and explodes as plutonium, actually. It's very curious. But it's rigged so that it can't get down to a spot where it can't emanate. There's always a more denser state from which it will eventually emanate. Well, life, confronted with this tremendous automaticity, can use it only so long as life understands that it is a static, that it is more vital to be able to create a form than it is to preserve one, that one should be able to exteriorize out of and interiorize into anything, that one should be able to fix and unfix his attention and fix and unfix other attentions at will. One should be able to dematerialize and rematerialize anything. If one could do that, this universe holds no qualms. None. And when one can't do that, it's a death trap. Now, if you will explain to me just how an individual can do other than go into a dwindling spiral on something which pounds him from 360 degrees sphere continually and lets him emanate very slightly indeed. The entering wave is going faster than the departing wave, therefore always some particles of the wave remain every time it reflects. And when you see that this is additive mass, and that this additive mass principle itself is quite sufficient to bog him down in mass, if you see that, you'll recognize that that is jail. Jail is merely a dramatization of this. You'll find any preclear that doesn't exteriorize well is actually basically terrified of this universe. but he's wasting courage by being apathetically effortful about it. He is. He's just going along and trying to ignore it all. And he'll get through, muddle through somehow, he figures. And as we run this, some of the darndest manifestations take place. He finds out he can't touch anything. He doesn't dare touch anything. He is so afraid of these barriers, of this space, and this thing called time, that he's frozen into an immobility which will not permit him to emanate, because he will not be able to get past the barriers. Of course, he knows he can't emanate because he knows there are barriers. Basically, this universe is a conviction that there are barriers. A little bit higher, it's a conviction that there's a game. Doesn't matter whether there's a game or isn't a game. Doesn't matter whether it's a game of barriers or a game of holes. We're not interested in that. It's just games can be all sorts of things. An operating Thetan, by definition, is one who is able to continue in this universe and to handle it as a Thetan without a secondary agency called a body. It's by definition. It is not an absolute state. But the state begins when an individual understands and can perceive what actually is occurring to him as a Thetan, and that there is a solution to his problem. This is the first rung of the ladder. There is a solution to his problem. And his problem is one, how do I continue to exist in this game and maintain some stability in terms of restriction so that I am not continually being more restricted against my own determinism? And so that I am put into a state finally where I can no longer remedy the restrictions which have been laid upon me. How do I get out of that state? What do I have to do to continue out of that state and still be able to play the game? Well, one can continue to play the game only if one can exteriorize out of anything and interiorize into anything. And as long as one does not have any complete dependency upon mest or mass. Now, in change of space processing, a Thetan learns with great rapidity, that distance is not a barrier. The next thing he learns is that masses are not barriers, simply by you interiorizing him and exteriorizing him in terms of masses. You know, you put him into large masses and out of large masses and have him go in and out of them and so forth. At first, he gets considerable sensation from this, rather unwillingly. And then this sensation drifts away, and then he can have the sensation or not. But he can also get in and out of masses with great ease. And he can move himself in and out of masses. All right, let's take tension. There's always the problem that his tension may get so fixed upon something that he cannot remove it. He's afraid of this. That's why he won't look. So we have to remedy that and have him fix and unfix his attention and be able to fix and unfix the attentions of others. If he can't do the latter, you see, he's not going to win very much in the game, because their intention is to fix and unfix his attention. So he's up to just middle when he can merely unfix and fix his own attention. He's got to be twice as high as that. Well, we have this particle called courage. How easy is it to process? Process is restimulative to the auditor. Requires that the auditor understand the principles of automaticity and randomity and how they are handled in a preclair. Requires that an auditor has some understanding of gradient scales, knowing where he should enter the case. There's always some level of case where the individual can get courage. And knowing, of course, Scientology in general, because this is the center backbone of Scientology that we're talking about. and it runs off in many directions. Well, how does it apply to everything and anything? Very easy to do, to apply it. But he should see that he isn't dealing with something specialized that has to do with corset stays and won't apply the second you go into shoelaces. He's always expecting the shoelace preclear to show up, you know. We'll work on this preclear. Well, let's see how many ways you can use courage. Well, you can use it in the same mode as used in step four. And not only can use it, but now that you've had a taste of blood, you jolly well better had. Use it in terms of wasting, saving, accepting, desiring, and being curious about it in brackets. And you beat that one to death. You've got to put in, probably, on a pre-clear who doesn't exteriorize easily, just to get him to exteriorize and stabilize and so forth, you've probably got to put in at least an hour of wasting courage. Now, you've seen this thing working fairly fast. Well, you better look at it working a lot faster, because it starts working like a hurricane the second you do this. The fellow finally perceives his own chronic emotional state as a waste of courage. Because that's what he's doing. And he will suddenly start running this and expecting the emotion to kick back at him, and the emotion that he's going to run out, and all these choice emotions that he's been having come in and fly out and change and so forth. And by golly, here he is stuck with something that's awfully familiar. It's him. Only he's running him as part of a bracket of wasting courage. Fantastic. In other words, you can run out the chronic emotional state of the preclear with step four, SOP 8, applied to courage. Now you can also take side panels on it and take nobility and applause or admiration. Just for the sake of variation, I wouldn't stray much further than that. Unless it is to waste serenity. But you won't be wasting any serenity on anybody until you've just wasted the dickens out of courage. Now you know how to run a bracket. And you know that the preclear's got to be sure that he is wasting it. As he runs brackets in wasting, he does not have to be able to get good mock-ups. All he needs is an impression. But he's got to be certain that he is wasting it. Certain that it is being saved. Now, all these qualification mechanisms are simply significances kicking in. The qualification mechanisms. The individual says, well, now let's see, we'll pour it down a rat hole. No, I really wouldn't be wasting it because there's likely to be a rat down there. And now that tail end there is the qualification, which in itself is uncertainty. Because one is going further and further out, further and further away from certainty. As one departs from C to E is a communication. When you can be certain, what is the source? Why, you're real certain. And when you're certain that there's a pre-source, a side source, a parallel source, and a diathermic source, you had certainly better look further, because that's not certainty. You just better look a little further, you know, and find the parabolic source and the hyperbolic source, and this is sources and that is sources. Was it John that punched me in the nose, or was it the fact that his wife scolded him this morning? She is the author of the punch in the nose. No, that wouldn't be it, because the milkman made her mad. And here we go running off. Now, you'll see auditors doing this with processes. You'll see them doing this with investigation. Instead of trying to climb one long, consistent ladder, you will see them going off into the deeper significances of. And you take almost all of Homo sapiens at large, if given the slightest opportunity, he merely dives into the deeper significance of, and finally winds up with religion. He just abandons the whole thing and says, well, it's all God, and God's every place, and I'm nothing. He gives an identity to his enemy. His enemy is actually his own ignorance. His own ignorance of what? Of himself. Now, as you process this, you make sure that pre-clear knows he's wasting it. And then have him get somebody else up there and have this other person waste it. You know, the idea that somebody else is there, a specific person, and that person wastes some courage. And then we get two other people up there. You have him get two other people, the idea of two other people, and have one of these make the other one be courageous in such a way as to waste it. You know, one of them making the other one waste some courage. In other words, be courageous. Have Papa and Mama there, and Mama making Papa courageous about buttoning his shirt. Now, as you run this, your pre-clear will come up and scrape bottom. Every once in a while, you have some pre-clear who tells you he keeps on going down, and sooner or later, he will reach bottom. Of course, he's dramatizing some sort of a fall in ground. But he just goes on and on and on, finding something deeper and something deeper and something more significant about how wrong it all is. And when he gets down to the final point of how wrong it all is, why, of course, he finds that he was wrong. That is the inevitable answer. If one starts to find anything wrong, he will eventually discover that it is he who is wrong. What is wrong about him? What's really wrong about him is he's finding something wrong. Anybody who starts on this mad career of trying to find something wrong will eventually find out that it's himself. You can even run this in a process. You can have somebody find something wrong with a corner and other things wrong with a corner. He'll line charge probably before you get him there. But if you kept this up, why, he'd eventually find out that it wasn't the corner, it was himself. And yet you were just asking him to find things wrong with a corner, fictitious things there. And he'd finally wind up with the fact that it was wrong with himself. Well, now the pre-clear's already run that course. He's looked at the messed universe and found everything wrong with the messed universe, and finally it's wrong with him. You see, that's why he's sitting there. He's found out what's really wrong is himself. That was his first major discovery. Well, he's already run the circuit. And the circuit is, everything is wrong but me. The circuit began, really, but there's something wrong with that. And then there's something wrong with that and that because they're connected with that. And then there's something wrong with that and that and that and that and that because they're connected with the that. But I've forgotten what the first that was, so it must be everything wrong in that area. Now it's everything wrong all the way around here. Now it's everything wrong above and below and beyond. And now it's everything wrong, everything wrong, everything wrong. It's all bad. It's all bad over there. It's all bad over there, it's all bad over there, it's all bad here. And he's been through that course. And that has been life to him in the last 76 trillion years. Now, it's indeed miraculous that you can come along and in a few hours bail him out of this existence where everything is wrong and everything is wrong and everything is wrong. And you can back run that track. I give you the matter of associative restimulators. And restimulators in general, as covered in the first book. You'll find that there's something wrong in the environment, so therefore the individual finds the entire environment wrong, yet he has never spotted the first thing that was wrong with the environment. He just knows there's a feeling about it. Well, an individual setting up resistances against the environment will eventually get to the point where the environment is pulling on him. The resistance has inverted, in other words. You see that? He's resisted until he's being pulled by his own resistance. He's being pulled outward. Well, that's an inversion. Now he resists some more in that degree and finally resists to where he is pulled outwards again by his own inversion. And then he resists some more until he's pulled outwards again. It takes about 9 of these things to spin a guy incomplete. You'll see these unfold in a pre-clear as you run him. You'll see these inversions taking place. Pushes and pulls and so forth. He will get a tremendous tension against the room, or he'll get large feelings of pressure out in front of him where there isn't anything, and all sorts of queer manifestations show up. You don't pay any attention to those manifestations as pressures. What you pay attention to are the automaticities which turn up only when they are automaticities which demonstrate to him he cannot control a form. That's the only automaticity you pay any attention to encourage processing. Any automaticity which turns up could be handled. What's an automaticity? Some wild manifestation. A bunch of sparks suddenly fly out in front of the preclear. He didn't determine there was going to be. It's very surprising. A bunch of sparks flew out. And you could handle that. You could just have him throw some more sparks out. It would undoubtedly be very revelatory. But you're not interested in that. You're only interested in the fact when he gets down to a point where he feels like he's going to shake himself to pieces or go appetite over tin cup. That's when you start paying attention to that automaticity, and that's the automaticity of non-control of a form. All of a sudden, as you're running this, he gets the picture of his mother. She dashes in one door and out the other door and flies in through the roof and flops all over the floor. That's an automaticity of mother form, so you handle it. How long do you handle it? Just enough to take the edge off. What are you doing? You've just knocked out a ridge of some sort or another, so let's just knock it out. What knocked it out? Particle flow. So let's get some more particle flow going. If you don't handle these automaticities as they come through, preclear is liable to become very, very, very upset and very, very uncomfortable. This is an auditor failure. When an automaticity of form turns up on the subject of control and he lets it go by, because the case have tendency to slow down, because the case gets afraid that something new and strange may happen. The auditor merely demonstrates to him that he can handle this to some degree and keeps on going. That's in the interests of morale and also in the interests of mechanics. Now, where's this process stop as far as the body's concerned? Well, I can tell you as I sit here right now, I know many of you are going to overrun the exteriorization point by at least 5, 10, 15 hours. I'll bet you sooner or later somebody here may overrun an exteriorization point for some preclear about 25 hours worth before he suddenly wakes up to the fact that, hey, you know, he could have exteriorized anywhere along this line. Now, the Satan is clamping the body because he's afraid the body will go out of control. As you run the courage processing, these fears of going out of control are edged off. The Satan doesn't have as hard a grip on the body anymore. He might not really be improving much on his ability to mock up courage or serenity. He might not be improving terribly. He might take a little sag on it. That doesn't matter. It's how many beams has he got clamped on this body? How many somatics is he holding in so that he can hold them off? That's what's important. Now, every time you hit one of these automaticities, some of the fear goes off of the case. And after just so much of it's gone off, you could say be 3 feet back of your head and the fellow would be back there, but he'd be working much better as a certain exterior than interiorized. Because what's the idea of trying to clean up all the GE ridges, too? Because this technique has the liability of pouring too much through the GE ridges. So hold it down. Get him out as soon as you can. You're just running this just long enough so that you can get him out. He might as well be interiorized into a stove He might as well be interiorized into a book or a block of wood. It doesn't matter what he's interiorized into. He happens to be interiorized into a body. That's incidental. Beyond this, the block of wood won't come apart and the body will. I don't know how many hours it would take to actually start knocking a body apart, but it probably would take 100 or so. It would take, from my estimates of it, quite a bit of processing to start knocking a body to pieces with courage processing. Many a preclear, if he hears this remark, is liable to immediately say, well, now, better not be used on me because the body's liable to come apart. That's what he's afraid will happen, you see. The Thetan thinks he's holding the body together. The body is a set of automatic machinery and perceptions which hold together out of its own automatic machinery. The delusion of the Thetan is that he's holding it together. He isn't. He's controlling it. He isn't holding it together. It's a horrible thing for Thetan when he finally realized that every effort he ever made to hold the body together was a negative gain. Every time he tried to hold the body together in some fashion or another, he merely succeeded in aberrating his own communication system. If he wanted to mock up bodies and remedy the havingness, that's something else. Well, here we have what the Thetan can do and can't do perform. He can create one, he can cause one to persist, and he can destroy one. And he can repair one by remedying its mass by additions or deletions. We can't hold them together. He can't make energy press against energy and get any result at all. He never will be able to. All right. What can happen to your preclair as you process? That's wrong or bad. Mostly havingness, if not totally havingness. Courage processing destroys or upsets mass. And having destroyed or upset mass in the individual, you get the individual unable to be in the same balance that he was in, and so he doesn't feel as well. He gets colds and other kinds of things. Just because this mass has not been remedied. Well, how do you know when a mass is going to be remedied or not remedied? Or when you ought to or shouldn't or something of the sort? When should you start remedying mass? That's when the preclear starts to drop down tone, of course. He's got too much of something or too little of something, and it generally is too little of something. Well, you feed him mass. Well, how do you control these automaticities? You can actually control the automaticities and help his mass out at the same time with this kind of a tricky little process. You make him walk up, the body flopping all over the place and then falling dead as a result, and then have him pick the mock up and stick it in himself. That'll remedy mass. You can have 15 bodies out in front of him, all going out of control simultaneously, and then smash them all together and make one body, which is in control, and then shove it into him. Remedy mass. So that we have an excellent way of shooting two processes with one command. Instead of letting him run these automaticities out there and forgetting about them, we let him run these automaticities out there and they flop around all over the place and so forth, and then we just use what mass he has created. It isn't we're trying to conserve mass or anything of the sort, it's just a little shorter way of going about it. All right, now, where do we have a breakdown in the process? The auditor. The auditor will fail to enter the case at a sufficiently low point where the case can actually feel some courage or get some courage of one kind or another. The auditor may fail to communicate with preclear to find out what's happening. The auditor may not pay enough attention to communication lags and their changes. The auditor may have a tremendous piece of re-stimulation on his own hands if he himself isn't clear. And so I have a tendency to suppress the whole process. And that has been done. You know, he's so anxious not to get that preclear out of control, the best thing to do is kind of kill the preclear, throw him in apathy or something. So he does. Well, good auditing then would be to follow through the process, stay in communication with the preclear, discover what the preclear is doing, discover how he is doing it, find out when the automaticities turn up and handle them as they come, and vary the process sufficiently with unlimited processes so that the preclear doesn't have a tendency to go entirely out of balance. Run some nothing, run this and run that. Well, you have an enormous array of processes. They start in with HC. They go through a nice, solid, basic process of putting things in walls and so forth, which is very easy to do. Mock-up of various emotions. Runs through in the handling of automaticity, beingness processing. We make the person be this and be that and pretend he's this and pretend he's that. Very effective. You have creative processing, where you have the individual mock up these various things. You have havingness processing, where you make the individual accept and reject various things. And he'll exteriorize on practically any of these. But if he's real bad off, he won't exteriorize until he has some certainty that he can control the body from outside. And so we get up to courage processing. And this turns it on, but good. And this makes him let go. He'll let go, back out, and be certain he's out of his head. Now, why doesn't the preclear perceive? What is perception, anyhow? Perception is inverted resistances. He never gets the wave back that he sends out. He can't control it after it's gone. He can't make it reflect off of anything, so he can't emanate light to make things glow. Everything he throws out gets absorbed. Well, he can't handle wavelengths when he's doing that. You know, you say, turn everything gold, and he can't turn everything gold and then see it gold. Well, it must be that the environment is soaking up whatever he's throwing out there to turn things gold. Well, so he'd better shift it around and get off of a stuck wavelength problem. Why is it that the eyes see all colors? They see all colors simultaneously because they're kind of on a stuck band. The light band is stuck and kind of glued together and compressed. It's fantastic seeing all these colors at the same time. You actually have to take and tune yourself up simultaneously to about 20 wavelengths. And that's quite a band to see on. So you will find an operating theta quite routinely sees things as all gold or all green. And if he wants to see everything with all colors and so forth, why, he just simply sort of jams the color band, and then he can see everything with all colors and then pull it apart again. Seeing with all colors simultaneously is an automaticity. Talking into air gives him a fixation on air. Breathing air gives him a fixation on air, and he gets stuck on air. If you ask him to send out on the wavelength of air a lightning bolt, it won't go 10 feet. If you ask him to send one out not on the wavelength of air, it'll go just as far as it'll go out in empty space. It'll, by the way, affect bodies just as neatly, this one that's not on the wavelength of air. The fellow's right on the surface of Earth, and he's handling energy which is not on the wavelength of air. It'll affect bodies just as neatly. All right. The remedy of havingness. Your preclear's always got too much and too little. He's in an unbalanced state. If you run a preclear up to a point, you interiorize him, exteriorize him out of things and stuff and stones and that sort of thing. You should check him afterwards for a remedy of any idea that he has that he's just a concept or something. You know, he hasn't anything to identify as himself. He becomes unhappy as a result. How do you remedy having this? The crudest way to remedy it is to have the fellow, while exteriorized, put 8 anchor points around himself and snap them in on himself, then not throw it away, just keep it, and put out 8 more anchor points around himself, new ones, and snap those in, and 8 more, and snap those in, and 8 more, and snap those in, and 8 more, and snap those in, until he has a sizable mass. He gets real happy when you're doing this. Okay. Single aberration, of course, is time. Time is a coaction of particles, and being the coaction of particles, when one tries to restrain 2 particles from coming together or from separating, when he is using his own energy to do this, he is, in effect, suspending himself slightly in time. See? So the control and time tie in together. Because control is essentially handling particles. Competence is simply getting 2 particles to coincide or not coincide at will. That's competence. And when you can get these particles handled, you have no trouble with time. But if you can't handle particles, you have trouble with time. Quite obvious, because time is the coaction of particles. And where an individual has markedly failed to keep 2 particles apart, or to separate 2 particles, why, he has, to that degree, become stuck in time. So this is what is known as being stuck on the time track, and that is the basic mechanism of being stuck on the time track. The difference being is, the individual has approximated particles of his own, which he says are intimately made up by himself, for the control of particles in the messed universe itself. And a messed universe particle is a different kind of a particle from the kind he's mocking up to control it with. The messed universe particles are still kicking around. The particles of the Santa Maria are probably scattered to the 4 ends of nowhere by this time, but they exist. There's probably one in South Carolina, and there's probably some up in Plymouth Harbor, and there's probably some more in down on the Gulf Stream, still going through the Gulf Stream. When you find out how many atoms it would take to build one ship, the disintegration of atoms and molecules would demonstrate to you that it has quite a scattering possibility. Now, some preclear was on a voyage in the Santa Maria, and he got scared the day it was going through the dragon's mouth, and he tried to hold the dragon's mouth apart and hold the Santa Maria still long enough to get around a certain rock, and he's made a picture of it. Well, the Santa Maria molecules and the dragon's mouth molecules and all these other molecules have changed by this time. They're still existing, and they're still somewhere else. And being somewhere else, they're not in his facsimile, are they? But he's got a picture of this facsimile. So your E meter says he's stuck in 1492. Yeah, he's stuck in a pattern of particles that he tried to keep from separating or closing in the date 1492. Well, what says he's stuck there? It's just a picture of it. The actual particles aren't there anymore. So being stuck on the time track is delusory. And a person gets into a delusion at length, because he thinks everything is stuck and time itself isn't moving. Well, this comes about when he's not even vaguely inspecting particles around him. Present time would be the awareness of the position of particles in the instant called now. That would be an individual's contact with present time. The messed universe is an automatic present time machine. When an individual gets out of wild agreement with this, his disagreement itself puts him out of present time. That's time a barrier. Time is a barrier because one can't go back to 1770. One can't go up to 8065 A.D. One can't go up to and back to these places because 770 and 8000 A.D. are alike introduced abstract arbitraries, which have no bearing in reality. There isn't any such flow of stream with ports on it marked 1720 and 1895 and 8063. There are no such ports. on the time stream. What there is this man's inability to understand this has caused him to assign an erroneous value to this. We have people doing time travel. Well, if you want to do time travel to 1781 or 1776, you will have to find the particles which were there and move them all back into the same position and have Continental Congress sitting in Philadelphia, and you will have to even recover the particles which have escaped since from the document called the Constitution, and you will have to rearrange all these things and put all these particles back where they were at that time. And that would be really 1770, 76, or whatever it is. That would really be it. Now, to get the particles up to 8,065, you just have to arrange all the particles, catalyze them on their path to a point where they would all be as they would be in 8,000. But what do you know? That would be 8,000. If all the particles of the year 8,000 were arranged as they would be in the year 8,000, it would be the year 8,000. But not because you said there was a year called 8,000, because the particles are now in that pattern. And if you've agreed that this is 8,000, then you've just agreed on something else. You can also agree on the price of dog food. That doesn't make the price of dog food an arbitrary factor in your entire existence. But in the case of a continuous agreement upon this arbitrary called time, why, you have finally entered an abstract factor into your existence that's not understood and is an error. So the individual still holds on to this facsimile, which arduously pretends to keep clashing rocks from closing in on the Santa Maria. And the particles aren't there anymore. Well, now that itself is aberration and delusion, if you want to put it that way. Well, you'd certainly better dissolve or rearrange without too much upsetting his mass these particles that he's depending on to keep the clashing rocks from wrecking the Santa Maria, because Santa Maria isn't here anymore. Those particles are otherwise arranged. And there are many solvents and methods of handling these things. There's the eraser that erases the particles in such a way that is, say, erases the significance out of these particle masses. There's picking up ridges and throwing them away, but that done promiscuously throws out of balance a person's happiness. There's all kinds of ways you can handle these masses of energy. When it finally boils down to it, you were handling things that were set up to static and resist all effects. They were set up there to be motionless and resist all effects and to keep something from happening or make something happen. And they're not keeping something from happening or making something happen anymore. And so we have the unnecessary bric-a-brac of the engram bank. The individual likes it because it's mass. He doesn't like it because it has significance. He does not need it to remind him of anything. He does not need a picture to remember anything. He cannot have a picture which tells him anything unless he knows what is to go into the picture in the first place. Now, that should tell you a great deal about aberration. Courage processing happens to be one very fast way of catalyzing all of this. Well, because it catalyzes it so rapidly, must also mean that it is wrecking havingness with great rapidity. See, it's ruining time, so it must be ruining havingness. It's shifting it out of balance one way or the other and around. Well, that means that this is being done at a speed that you're not accustomed to seeing it happen at. You don't realize that every little while, like, you're going to have to stuff this guy full of mass. If you don't stuff him full of mock-up mass or something of the sort like that, he'll do a slump on you. Why'll he do a slump? Well, he's unhappy about it, that's all. He thinks he has to have mass in order to be happy. And who are you to argue about it? Everybody seems to have agreed to this one, that people have to have mass in order to be happy. Actually, I can prove to you conclusively that the source of all unhappiness is mass, but I'm afraid I would be repeating the word of any Hindu philosopher. Well, if you'd looking for happiness, don't get the other kind of mass, however, Miss Universe mass, all stuck around. Every time you get too much mass, you get to be the servant of it, one way or the other. Well, that's what the Hindus trying to talk about. What kind of mass we're trying to talk about is the kind you mock up. It's more important to the Thetan to have mock-up mass than to have meshed universe mass. First time I've mentioned that, but you sure should take note of it. It's more important to the Thetan to have mock-up mass than meshed universe mass. You think, and have gone along on the supposition probably, to a large degree, that, well, a creative processing was a secondary process. You know, it was second to being able to do it in the meshed universe. Well, that's not it. Doing it in creative processing is a primary process, and doing it in the meshed universe is so secondary that it's not even therapeutic. Having mass. But of course, there's the other way around. An individual has arranged his mass anytime he has failed to get something in the meshed universe, so he's made his own masses static. He's made them fixed, rather than static, since that's a meaningful word in Scientology. He's made these masses fixed in various patterns and kinds. He's got masses, all right, and they're tremendous masses, but they're on fixed patterns. Couldn't have a bicycle when he was five, so he has this picture of a bicycle. Truth of the matter is, a bicycle that he made out of his own energy is more valuable to him than a bicycle which runs on two wheels. As far as mass is concerned, a Thetan without any mass and simply owning the meshed universe, theoretically, would be in very good shape. But he's not. By test, Thetan is happier with his own mass than he is meshed universe masses. All right, I recommend you to this process. Let's get in there and pitch. Step 4, using courage and then serenity. Now, I expect all cases to be completely shattered and exteriorized and in excellent condition, well above theta clear, by Monday morning. You know enough to do it. Now, let's do it. If you don't do it, why, I know an operating Thetan named Joe. I'll have zap you.